This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report on the grains. The primary drivers for corn and soybean markets are South American weather and Chinese demand. There's no evidence of any weather pattern changes for South America. They will get some rain, but they need consistent rain, unlikely given the strong La Nina. Some rotation of rain systems is occurring where some places drought eases while others go drier. The net of these is short. Many places in Brazil, soils have little soil moisture holding capacity, which is typically not a problem in a tropical climate except in a La Nina year. The 90-day SOI is a positive 8 with a positive 7 needed for La Nina. The daily contributor, which fluctuates widely, is a positive 20. Corrections off of rain events will be buying opportunities. As to Chinese demand, the price of corn in China is near $10 a bushel. They are going full bore, restocking their hog herd, and that is not going to stop for a while. The way our trade relationship is set up now, they will buy our cheap corn until they buy so much that their demand is filled, that their domestic prices decline to a degree that they'll stop. I believe that U.S. farmers will try to expand acres next season, up until the ongoing drought here derails that too. We have had very little subsoil moisture recharge to date. This impacts the cattle industry too. North Dakota economist Harlan Hughes' drought strategy for sustaining a herd through a drought is interesting, but sometimes I feel like it's a little bit like if I had a can opener, I could open this can. He analyzes buying supplemental hay, making assumptions for price and supply that may not exist except in a model. The 2012 drought was the motivation for the model. Iowa State University climatologist Elwin Taylor says it will see the drought of the century this decade, targeting 2025, give or take a year, for the worst of it. He likens expectations to the 1930s. No one alive in the cattle or grain business has ever had to manage their way through a drought like that before. Harlan's model is nice, but his assumptions may be too optimistic. RJO estimates that farmers have sold 60 to 70% of their soybeans and 30 to 40% of their corn. One way to look at it after the price rise is that China stole that soybeans and corn from U.S. farmers with the help of understated USDA estimates of their demand. You gotta have an inventory to sell when prices are good to make up for when they are bad. I recommended binning crops. Technical indicators have gotten frothy, overbought, and longs want to bank some profits from time to time. They have to make farmers think prices can drop again in order to get them to sell cash on rallies. There needs to be some demand rationing where prices reduce consumption, and there's little sign of that having been accomplished. A correction will find buyers. With the balance sheets of major crops tightening, most will want more acres next year. With the possible exception of cotton, they'll not want to give any up. Informa, which is now called the Food and Ag Commodity Economics, with the acronym FACE, looks for farmers to plant 91.7 million acres of corn compared to 91 million this year. They look for farmers to boost soybean acreage from 83.1 million acres to 89.1 next spring. They look for wheat acres to grow from 44.3 million this season to 46. All of those crops want more acres, as I expect also will sorghum and rice. U.S. soybean crush plants will be looking for an early soybean harvest next year, as beans flow directly from combines to processors and onto barges for export. It takes more than acres to produce crops. It takes weather, as they are being reminded of in South America. Planting intentions do not always match with planted acres. The western Corn Belt and Plain states will start out very dry next spring. The crop that we got this year was made off of our subsoil moisture reserves. A headline read, "Planning for Less Government Help." I think that is good advice for the year ahead, but one should remember that government help that we received was preceded by government hurt. Government policy did something to us that before they helped us. The way I see it, government tried to help farmers heal the financial wounds that they created. If they would stop with the crazy trade wars, then maybe we can survive without the government ACHs. President Trump did enlighten the politicians for uses for CCC funds. He used them as a slush fund for political payments to farmers that he damaged in the trade wars. The Democrats reportedly used CCC funding as a way to bankroll carbon sequestration payments. They also reportedly plan to tie conservation practices to crop insurance policies. I hope they use sugar and not vinegar as incentives. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, contact us at Comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.